Chapter 14. I scurried down from the shelf I was on, only to realize the walls and floors were made of the same material. It was a light, bluish color, and incredibly shiny. The little dragon I was in didn't know what the foreign substance was, but I knew immediately it was ice. This had to be where the eggs the frost giants had were kept. The walls were lined with eggs of all different colors, but as hard as I tried, I couldn't sense whether or not they were dormant, not in my current body. All I could feel were the emotions of the little dragon I was in, and he was terrified out of his mind. The small creature tried to scurry across the floor toward the only exit, but the ice was too slippery, and he slid and slammed into one of the ice walls. Just then, footsteps ran through the cavern, and the little dragon let out a terrified squeak before it attempted to climb back up the wall to hide behind one of the eggs on the shelf. Everything was too slick, though, and instead of climbing up the ice, he only managed to get a few feet up before he slid back down to the floor. The footsteps grew louder, and his terror amplified with each resounding thud. Shadows filled the cavern, and a second later two huge ice giants appeared in the doorway. One last terrified squeak echoed through the cavern, and I squeezed my eyes shut, only to open them to my own courtyard. I drew in a huge ragged breath and sat upright in the grass.
"Roth!"
Asta gasped as she was awoken from slumber, and the elf girl immediately gripped onto my arm and looked at me with panicked yellow eyes.
"Are you all right? What's going on?"
"I saw them. I saw the eggs the ice giants have."
"You what?"
Asta asked, and her yellow eyes darted back and forth as she looked me over.
"In your sleep?"
"Yes." I nodded and licked my lips as I tried to center myself. "I was a newly hatched baby, and I saw the room where they keep all the eggs. I know where they are. Or at least I know what the room looks like."
"Oh, that's great!"
Asta smiled and ran her hands through my hair to calm me down. I glanced up at the sky to see it was nearly dawn, so I decided it was time to get up for the day. I wasn't going to be able to sleep any longer, even if I tried. I'd allow the girls to sleep a little bit longer, but I needed to get moving. My adrenaline was pumping, and my heart was pounding in my chest. "As soon as everyone is up, we'll head to Ramir's," I told the elf girl. "I'll make some breakfast so it's ready as soon as everyone is awake."
"I'll make tea."
Asta smiled. "You could sleep a little longer if you want," I said, and I gently stroked her cheek. "I'm so sorry I woke you."
"Don't be sorry. I'm glad you woke me with such good news. We will be able to find the babies much easier now."
"I hope so," I agreed, and while I understood this was good news to some degree, feeling the baby dragon's terror didn't exactly have me in an optimistic mood. I was eager to get going, to find that baby and free him and the rest of the dragons in the ice cavern. If the dragon I was in hatched of his own accord, that meant there were probably others in there ready to hatch as well. But how would the ice giants have retrieved eggs nearly ready to hatch? If they bought the eggs from Alfheim dealers, the Elf King would have already bought them for himself. So the giants either went to Alfheim to get them, or the Elf King wasn't the only one who'd managed to figure out how to magically hatch dragons. I hadn't heard anything about frost giants stealing eggs from Dragon Valley, but nothing would surprise me about the dragon trade anymore, and if the frost giants were in Alfheim, I wasn't even sure the other dealers would know about it. Frost giants were large, but they weren't stupid, and I wondered if they were using the same kind of magic the King was planning on trying to use and hatch the eggs. Though I supposed it was possible the dragon I'd been in had hatched on his own somehow. Perhaps my occupying him had woken him up. I couldn't be sure until I found the eggs and was able to feel whether or not they were dormant. Regardless, we'd get to them before the Elf King could, and that was all that mattered. Asta and I got up, and I folded our blanket and put it back by the fire while the elf girl got dressed. She slipped the white tunic on over her naked body, but the sight of her hips and ass stuck in my mind and excited me all the same. I pushed the thought to the back of my mind and gathered some vegetables for breakfast, instead of trying to seduce the elf girl once more. I made sure to gather some pumpkin for Blah, and I cut it up into little cubes and tossed it with some spices before I put it over the flames. I also cooked some of the leftover kingsbird we'd salted to save, along with some squash, cabbage, and rice. Asta got her tea going and on the fire, and just as I was finishing up breakfast, Cass and Ira came out of the cottage, with the little dragons trailing behind them. The strawberry blonde's hair was a mess of curls, and she yawned and stretched as she walked down the worn path toward us. Ira somehow appeared immaculate. Her long red hair hung straight down around her shoulders to her waist, and she looked bright-eyed and refreshed from sleep. Inga, Ufe, and Svas all tumbled along the path. The new little girl pounced on the red twins in an effort to get them to play, and Ufe lightly pushed her back with his head and flicked his tail at her, while Inga flew up and out of the way each time the little dragon tried to pounce on her. Blah yawned and trudged along, and he was clearly upset everyone had decided to get up. But he wouldn't feel so sleepy once he realized I'd made him some pumpkin.
Breakfast smells good,
Cass said as she walked over and took a seat by the fire.
It does. I'm starved.
Just as I suspected, once Blah got close enough to the fire, he lifted his little nose in the air, sniffed a few times, and licked his lips. Yes, I made you some pumpkin, I told the little dragon. Blah walked over and sat in front of me, so he could impatiently wait for his food. I shook my head and dished up plates for everyone. Then I set the little dragon's bowls on the ground near the fire, and Inga, Blah, and Svas rushed over to eat, while Ufe approached his bowl slowly and savored each bite. It was good to see Svas was more comfortable being away from Ira now, and she was fitting in with the other dragons quite well. The adorable little yellow girl bounced up and down as she gobbled up her food, and little bits of meat, vegetables, and rice flew out of her bowl to land on the ground around her.
I don't think she minds eating by Blar and Inga anymore. I don't see why she would. She's just as sloppy as they are.
Blar lifted his head from his bowl and shot the redhead a glare, before returning to devour the rest of his food.
Such an attitude, that one.
The redhead shook her head and took another bite of her breakfast.
Rath had a dream last night that he was a baby dragon in Jotunheim.
Asta announced with a smile.
What?
Cass asked through a mouthful of food, and she lifted her hand up to cover her mouth before she spoke again.
You dead?
Yes. Oh, I nearly forgot to tell you. I've been thinking about it all morning while I made breakfast.
What happened?
Well, I was in some sort of ice cavern. I hatched and tried to get out, but the floor was too slippery, and I kept falling. Then some frost giants came down the hallway, and, well, that was when I woke up.
What did you see around you? Yeah!
Cass added with an excited nod.
Were there eggs? Could it have been where the frost giants are keeping the eggs for the Elf King?
Yes, I believe it was. I nodded. Eggs lined all the shelves in the room. There were dozens of them, at least. I'm still trying to figure out how the little dragon hatched, though.
What do you mean?
Cass asked, and her violet eyes narrowed on me. I'm not sure if the egg hatched on its own, or if it was hatched through magic.
I hadn't thought of that.
The strawberry blonde frowned.
Do you think they know the magic the king talked about in his letter?
They might. That could be, at least in part, how the king figured out how to hatch the eggs.
Do you think he's tried it already? Tried to hatch eggs?
Cass asked, and she pursed her lips.
Maybe. He could be buying the eggs to try hatching them, or he could be buying them to hatch. There's not really any way to tell which based off the note we found.
Yes, you're right. Once we free these eggs, we need to do more reconnaissance at the king's palace to see what we're up against. If we can sneak in there again at the right time, we might be able to figure out his entire plan and where he's keeping all the babies.
Yeah, it was odd there weren't more in the dungeon.
Cass frowned.
You saw a lot of them before, right?
Oh, there were three or four there, at least. And those were just the babies. I couldn't see how many larger dragons there were.
He couldn't have gotten rid of them, could he have?
No, we all knew gotten rid of meant killed. But I refused to entertain that thought, not until we had proof of it. The idea that all those babies died was too much for me to handle, and my vision went red just thinking about the possibility of it. I don't think so, He's trying to build an army, and the best way to do that isn't by getting rid of your soldiers.
That's right.
Ira nodded.
It would better serve him to keep them around. He probably has them somewhere isolated where they're undergoing training. What kind of training?
Asta asked, and her white eyebrows pulled together with sadness and confusion.
He's trying to train them to kill, you think? Yes, and to obey whatever he says. How incredibly sad. Dragons are such peaceful creatures, I hate to think of them being used that way. It's bad enough they're being traded and kept in captivity, but to try and use them for such evil purposes? It makes me ill to think about it.
I feel the same way, I told her with a soft smile. But we're going to put an end to this, I promise. Asta smiled back at me, and then I looked at each of the girls. Their eyes were filled with hope and trust, and I wasn't about to let them down.
Should we take the cart to Father's?
Cass asked after a few moments of quiet. I think that's a good idea. It will probably be faster, and Blas made a lot of portals the past few days. I think he deserves a rest.
You're right.
The strawberry blonde said before a smirk spread across her lips.
And I think the pumpkin was a nice touch, too.
As I thought so. While the girls finished their breakfast and got ready to go, I went over to the cart and cleared out all the valuables inside. All of the coins, jewels, and weapons we'd found lately were still inside, so I took them into the cottage and hid them away with the rest of my coins. I made sure to grab a small bag of silver and copper coins to take with us, in case we needed to purchase anything, but I didn't think we'd need any gold. Besides, if we needed more money, we could always come back home and get more, but I doubted there would be any sort of urgency to us buying something worth more than a few silver coins. I looked through the goods we'd gathered up for something to give Ramir, as a thank you for all of his dedication and hard work for us. I found him a very nice pot we'd retrieved from the bandits we'd taken out, as well as some Alfheimian spices. I put those in a basket along with some fresh fruit and vegetables from the garden, and then I made my way over to where the girls were gathered round the cart.
Is that for Ramir?
Asta asked with a wide smile. Yeah, I nodded. He does a lot for us, so I figured the least we could do was bring him some fresh produce and a new pot.
He'll love it.
Cass's violet eyes softened as she smiled at me.
Thank you, Wrath.
Of course. He deserves this, and much more. Bla walked up and put his front paws on my leg so he could sniff the basket. It's not for you.
No, but I'm sure Father will give him whatever he wants out of it.
Yes, knowing Ramir, I'd say that's a good bet. My women were all ready, so I gathered the horned horses and locked them back into their positions in front of the vehicle. They'd stayed close to the house, just as I knew they would, and they were clearly full from grass and apples and peaches that had dropped onto the ground. Their bellies were wide, and I reminded myself to take them out more, so they didn't get too comfortable with not working for their meals. The girls and I had foregone our armor for the moment, though it was placed in the back of the cart, for when we needed it. But right then, all we carried was our weapons. We were only traveling across Asgard, after all, so I knew we weren't in any danger. It would also be far more suspicious to be traveling through the city in full battle gear than to simply be in regular clothes. Besides, it was a beautiful day, and I enjoyed the feel of the sunshine on my skin as we pulled out onto the brick road that led to the city. It had been some time since we'd really travelled through Asgard, and as we trotted along I enjoyed the scent of the fresh flowers and trees that filled the air. We rode in silence for a while, and just enjoyed the gentle swaying of the cart, but it wasn't long before the wonderful aromas of the marketplace hit my nose. Now, the market was bustling with people, as usual, when we passed through, and I looked out and smiled at all the vendors selling their wares. Then we passed by my favorite stand in all of Asgard, Tawny's Turkey Legs. I didn't know many of the vendors personally, but I knew Tawny well. His booth was the only one I'd consistently visited over the years, simply because the food was absolutely delicious. I waved to him as we passed by, and for a second it looked like he didn't recognize me. But then realization dawned on his face, and he grinned and waved back with his massive tan hand.
I remember him.
Asta smiled.
We bought turkey legs from him when I first arrived.
Yes, we did.
Tawny has the best food in the entire market. Those turkey legs are something else.
Yes, he does.
Before I started hanging around with you all, I would get my dinner from here most nights. You don't cook?
Cass asked, and her strawberry blonde eyebrows pinched together.
I was more focused on fighting than cooking as a kid. I guess I just never really paid too much attention to the meals I ate, so I never bothered to learn how to cook them. It must have been very expensive to eat at the market every day.
Asta's yellow eyes widened with surprise.
It's not cheap, but I made good money with the Vorband, and I have my own property, so what else am I using my coins for?
The redhead shrugged, but Asta simply turned to me to see if I was as shocked as she looked.
You have your own property? You really don't know that much about me still, do you?
Ira smiled and shook her head.
I guess not.
Cass frowned.
We've been a little more focused on the dragons than anything else. As we should be.
The redhead nodded.
Still, I'd like to see this property of yours sometime.
The sorceress replied with a smile.
Yes, me too.
Asta clapped and smiled so wide her eyes were pushed shut by her cheeks.
Maybe when this is all over.
Ira said, and she flashed the girls a wink, along with her pearly white teeth. I hadn't known about Ira's property either. Cass was right. We'd been a little preoccupied with the dismantling of the entire dragon slave trade. But I made a mental note to see this property of hers. I wanted to see where the redhead lived. The girls grew quiet once more, and I glanced over to see Cass had her spellbook open on her knees. Ufe was in her lap, and the strawberry blonde absent-mindedly stroked his back while she read through her spells. Svas was curled up in Ira's lap instead of around her neck, and I smiled at the little yellow dragon. She was sprawled out across the redhead's legs, and I saw her small chest rise and fall with each heavy, sleepy breath. Inga sat on Asta's lap with her head lifted up and her eyes closed as the white-haired elf girl tied some braided grass around her neck. Affixed to the grass was a small yellow flower, and once it was finished, Inga cooed and preened as Asta complimented her and stroked her head. I chuckled inwardly at the two of them and how adorable they were together, but then Blah snored loudly against my feet, and I wondered how Asta got the cute little dragon who likes bows, while I got the snoring horned beast who refused to behave unless there was pumpkin involved. He snored again, and I smiled down at the little blue dragon. It was a pain sometimes, but I wouldn't trade him for anything. Before long, we arrived at Ramir's shop, and I hopped off the cart and tied the horned horses up to the pole outside. The bell on the shop door rang, as usual, when we walked in, and I looked around to see if I could locate Ramir before he revealed himself to be somewhere incredibly close, like he always did.
Father!
Yes, dear?
The old man asked, and he leaned out from behind a bookshelf to our right.
Father, you have to stop hiding in here.
What? I'm not hiding. I'm just doing my job. It's not my fault you didn't look around before you called out to me.
I did look around, but I wasn't about to say that to the old man. He'd just say I hadn't looked hard enough, though I was sure Cass was right. The old man purposely waited to reveal himself. I suspected he liked seeing customers jump when they realized he was right next to them.
Here.
Asta smiled and handed Ramir the basket I'd made for him.
Wrath put this together for you.
Ah, he did he?
The old man asked, and he flashed me a wide grin.
Ah, there's no need for all that.
Maybe not, but we appreciate all you've done, and we just wanted to bring you a little something to say thank you.
Seeing these little things is payment enough,
Ramir said as he bent down to scratch under Blah's chin. Then the old man looked up at me and raised a bushy eyebrow.
However, I assume there's something else you need since you're here.
Are you saying we only visit when we need something?
Yes, dear, and it's perfectly understandable. You all are quite busy.
We are. And yes, there is something we need. The old man shot a smile toward Cass, but his daughter just crossed her arms and let out a little huff.
I'm always here to help,
the old man said as he carried the basket of goods toward the back of the shop.
What can I do for you?
We were hoping you have a map of Jotunheim you can let us use.
Ramir shook his head. I'm afraid I don't. Jotunheim is incredibly large, and I'm afraid not all of it has ever been charted, so maps are limited. Kaas's face fell.
You made us a map to get to the Vell?
Yes, but you had a specific, magical place you were headed to then. Do you have another one of those?
Well, no.
The strawberry blonde frowned. Oh, we're trying to find where some frost giants are keeping a large collection of dragon eggs. Ah, I see. The old man's bushy eyebrows pulled together. And you're not sure what part of Jotunheim they're in. I've been to the realm a few times, so I may be able to help a little depending on where you're going.
Ooh, we don't know exactly.
I sighed and pushed my hand through my hair, which made me realize I hadn't tied it back yet today.
What about your dream? Oh, yes!
Asta nodded fervently.
Maybe if you tell Ramir what happened, he'll be able to figure out what part of Jotunheim you were in.
Yes, tell me about this dream.
Ramir said as he picked up one of the squashes from the basket and cut off large chunks to give to the dragons, patiently waiting by his feet.
I was a little dragon, and I woke up in a room completely made of...
Ice!
Asta exclaimed, and she stepped slightly in front of me as she gestured wide.
There was ice everywhere. It was like an ice cavern, and he couldn't get out because it was so slippery.
Right, I agreed, and I tried not to smile at her enthusiasm over my dream.
And there were eggs all around.
Yes,
Asta said, as she clasped her hands under her chin.
We've got to get them and save the little dragons who showed Wrath where he was.
Oh, what do you think? I asked Ramir. Do you know of any ice caverns?
I do.
Ramir nodded.
Though I'm not surprised you all don't know about them.
Why would we know about them?
Kaas asked, and her forehead furrowed with confusion.
The ice caves are a place many frost giants call home,
Ramir said as he handed Blar a chunk of squash.
They are. I've never heard of them, and I've been to Jotunheim quite a few times for a battle.
Well, I'm not surprised they hadn't revealed where they live. The frost giants and the Asgardians have a checkered past, and it's not much better today than it was 100 years ago. It only makes sense they would try to keep their true homes hidden from us.
I suppose that's true.
The redhead pursed her lips.
So where are these ice caves?
They're at the base of Yota Mountain. At least that's where the entrance I know about is. I'm sure there's a million other ways to get down there.
So we have to go underground into tunnels where we have no idea where anything is. Every instinct I have is telling me that's not a good idea. What about the invisibility spell? I could cast that for us.
We'd only have an hour to look around then. I pursed my lips. We need longer than that, especially since we don't have a map of these caves.
You're right.
Kaas nodded.
But we can't just walk into the caves. Maybe not if we look like ourselves, but Kaas can disguise us as frost giants. Right, Kaas? I can.
The strawberry blonde bit her lip.
But I do need frost giants to work from. I can't just make us frost giants. We have to assume their identities. So you're saying we need to kill some frost giants?
Ira asked, and she raised a red eyebrow at Kaas.
Essentially, yes.
Kaas nodded.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard.
Asta frowned.
Right?
It shouldn't. If we can get Blar to make a portal near the mountain, I bet we can find some frost giants nearby. We can take them out, cast the spell, and head into the caves.
Good idea. We won't bring any suspicion as long as we act like we belong. What about the dragons? Do frost giants have dogs?
None that I've ever seen,
Ramir said as he passed out more squash to the small reptiles.
Father, they just had breakfast.
Kaas chastised with a shake of her head.
They're growing dragons,
Ramir countered as he cut off another piece of squash.
They need the extra sustenance.
Kaas rolled her eyes at her father.
If we can't disguise them as dogs, how can we disguise them?
I believe some frost giants keep snow leopards as pets.
What?
Kaas asked, and her violet eyes widened with horror.
Those monstrous things? How would they even fit in a cave?
They're not monstrous. Oh, you must be thinking of a giant snow leopard. That's a whole different species.
Even regular-sized snow leopards are fairly large, are they not? I've seen a couple on my travels.
Meh, they are.
Ramir shrugged. But not too large for a frost giant to keep.
I suppose they are very big.
Asta nodded.
Do we have to kill a snow leopard for each of the dragons?
Ira asked, and her red eyebrows pinched together.
No, you don't need to kill any, dear.
I doubt the beast will just let us take some of its fur.
Cass pursed her lips.
And we don't have time to scavenge for loose fur all over the place.
Ah, well, it's a good thing you won't have to.
What do you mean? Do you have a spell for us?
What? A spell?
The old man shook his head.
No, not a spell. I'm afraid the spell Cass will use is the best one for the situation, but I do have some fur you can borrow.
You keep snow leopard fur on hand?
Ira asked, and her brow furrowed with confusion.
Yeah, I also have giant snake skin in a jar bigger than me in the back room,
the old man said, and he cocked his head to the side with an amused look.
What's your point?
Nothing at all.
Ira laughed and put her hands up in mock surrender. The redhead should have known better than to question why Ramir had something in his shop. After all the strange things I'd seen in the jars that lined his shelves, nothing would surprise me.
Oh, that would be great! I wish we could see them, though. I bet they'll look like such a cute little snow leopard.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Didn't Cass show you how to see them?
Oh, no.
Cass frowned.
I never thought about it.
Ah! Let me gather the materials. We'll put the spell on them, and I'll show you what they look like.
Thank you, Ramir, I told the old man as he disappeared to the front of the shop. I glanced over at all the little dragons passed out on the floor near the fireplace, and each of them had a fat little belly, including Svas. Actually, her belly was the fattest of all, and it protruded from her scaly skin up to the sky as she laid on her back and snored lightly. Apparently, Ramir hadn't figured out how to alter the size of the snack for the size of the dragon. The little female probably got the same amount of squash as the other dragons, though she was half their size. I shook my head at them, and a moment later, Ramir returned with a jar full of dusty white fur. He removed the lid and pulled a few strands out, and dirt fell from them and landed on the floor.
Eh, they're not the cleanest animals around.
He shrugged.
I can do it,
Gar said, and she took the fur and walked over to the dragons.
What kind of spells do you cast with leopard fur anyway?
Oh, it's wonderful for protection spells,
Ramir smiled,
and for creating amulets for warriors. In fact, I think one of the members of your warband has an amulet containing some leopard fur.
What? Who?
I think the son's name is Hagrin.
Ramir shook his head and held up one finger.
No, that's not right.
The old man trailed off and looked up at the ceiling with his eyes narrowed in thought.
Hagar? Ah, that's it?
He pointed at me and smiled.
Ah, you must know him well, eh?
Yes, I guess you could say that.
His father commissioned it to be made for him. He wanted to protect his son in battle. Apparently he's not the hardest steel in the blacksmith's forge, but I'm sure you already knew that.
Yes, I did. I snorted and shook my head.
All done.
Cass called out, and I looked over at the dozing dragons, but found they still looked the same.
Oof, now for the fun part,
Ramir said, and he picked up a small triangular piece of glass from his desk, held it in his hands as he muttered something, and then handed it to Asta.
Here you are, dear.
What do I do with it?
The white-haired elf girl asked.
You look through it. Just hold it up, and you'll be able to see through the enchantment.
Asta followed his directions, and as soon as she laid eyes on the little dragons, she let out an excited squeal and jumped up and down.
They're so cute! Let me see!
Cass said, and she grabbed the glass and looked through it.
Me too!
Ira said, and she snatched the glass from Cass and looked through it.
All right, that's the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
What? It can't be that cute.
Look for yourself,
the redhead said as she handed me the glass. I held up the small see-through triangle, and I couldn't help the laugh that erupted out of me when I saw the dragons. The girls were right. They were absolutely adorable. They all looked like the same leopard, of course. That was how the spell worked. But it was easy to tell them apart by their sizes. They looked like giant kittens, with white fluffy fur covered in dark spots, long twitching tails, whiskers on their faces, and little pink cat noses. Svas was the tiniest and most adorable of all. Well, her and Inga, who now looked like a cat wearing a braided grass collar with a large flower stuck on the side. They're pretty cute, I agreed with a smile, and I passed the glass back to Ramir.
And now you're ready to go.
Oh, thank you again, I smiled.
Of course,
he nodded.
Leave your one horns and your cart here, too. I'll make sure they get something to eat.
What did you call them? I asked as I thought back to our straight mounts. One horns?
That is what they're called, Rath.
Huh, I nodded. Well, I'll have to remember that.
It might be better if you gave them names. It seems like you'll be keeping them for a while, after all.
Oh, you're right. Names would probably be polite.
Ah, and I do have these for you,
Ramir said as he gestured to his bookshelf, and a large volume floated down and opened itself on his desk.
I thought this might help with blast portal making.
On the page was a representation of the mountain Ramir had told us the caves were beneath, Yota Mountain. It was a huge, shiny black rock surrounded by snow and ice. The top of it reached into the clouds, and I wondered how large it actually was. Bla hopped up on the table and looked at the book. Huh? You think you can get us there, little buddy? Not too close, though. We need the element of surprise here. Bla looked at the portrait, pursed his lips, and then nodded. The girls and I quickly retrieved our armor from the cart, and Kaas cast a spell to keep us warm in the frigid temperatures of Jotunheim. It was still early in the day, so we had plenty of time to look around once we got there. I only hoped we'd be able to find some frost giants fairly quickly. I wanted to get into those caves as soon as possible, and there was no way we could go in looking like Asgardians. The Asgardians and the frost giants were sworn enemies, and we'd be slaughtered as soon as we were spotted. Ira and I were great warriors, and Kaas and Asta were on their way to becoming great as well. But even with our skills and our dragons, there was only so much we could do if we were trapped and outnumbered 10-1. We had to be smart about this, and disguising ourselves was the best way to get into the caves unnoticed. Once we were all ready to go, Bla created a portal, and the girls and I clasped hands and stepped through. As soon as I opened my eyes in Jotunheim, I could see a small light in front of me. I realized this was the entrance to the caves. But we weren't standing on the outside. Bla's portal had brought us into the caves.
Where in the hell did you come from?
A man's voice growled, and I turned around to see a large group of frost giants behind us. There were at least 10 of them. They were clearly warriors, and they started to pull swords and axes from their hips as they slowly walked toward us. They were huge, at least 3 feet taller than I was, with dark blue skin and bald heads. Each of them had eyes a different shade of blue, and they were incredibly muscular and toned. They wore leather tunics, tall black boots that came up to their knees, and dark gray armor on their chests and forearms.
I said, where the fuck did you come from? Your kind is not welcome here.
We'd come looking for a fight, and it seemed we'd found one.